This was, there was, this fellow, mixing him up, I put the wrong one, sorry. Just wanted to show you his picture. During the Soviet times, there was a maritime school for young sailors. And so he had come back with a whole group of his, co-students. And the monks had a big banquet for them and sang for them. This is just inside one of the churches. They have like a little bit of a pictorial thing about the history. And this is just one of the walkways around the entire that, you know, if you look at the wall outside and then you go inside, you can course around it completely. And this is just some of the views from that wall. This building here was what they used as the reception for the prisoners during Soviet times. It's completely empty and torn apart now. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of money. I mean, it will go little by little by little. And, young people come and spend, a week or so. It's very pleasant there. It's the beginning of August, so it never gets dark. This was probably, this is 11 at night, so I took some nice walks with this. And this now we're traveling over to an island. It was called Anzer Island. And much later, one of the monks that came, he moved over to this island to found a mesquite. So they give tours, and we went on one of the tours. It's very boggy, so there's walkways, wooden. And that was the church they built in the 1500s. It amazes me when I think. I mean, I can't even imagine what that would have been like to have somebody come and build something like that at that time. This is the inside there. You know, there's maybe four or five monks that live there. We had a very nice arrangement because this priest here on the right had come from way in the southern part of Russia. And traveling with a priest on any pilgrim group is highly recommended, especially if it would be a bishop, because they can sing the Molyeva and the Akafist. They can open the reliquary of many places. And so we were sort of dovetailed with them. This lady was very happy. She was with that group from southern Russia. She had found those. And then all over this little island are different chapels, Chasovnya. And this was Saint Eleazar, who had an apparition from the Mother of God to found this, monastery. So there's skeets, there's monasteries, there's this church, which was very interesting. It's kind of up on a hill, and it has the top you can see is like a lighthouse. And that's the inside of that. Here's our fellow pilgrim. and everybody was, writing the names. The little sign in the front tells you exactly how to write those names. Because as somebody who is just a little bit lazy with her Russian grammar, you write the names and you use a certain ending. Well, if you don't use that certain ending, you turn it into the little lady at the candle stand, you're going to get a lecture. So they had that there as an example of how to write it. This is just the view from that church looking out over this skeet. And then somehow, the distance we traveled this day walking was quite far. So I probably should go a little bit. I'm going to run out of time here. But this is kind of the bus that took us around, so I'm going to go a little faster. They did, in one part of this island, find the remains of probably 60, 70 prisoners who had been shot, and so they made like an area there, a memorial to them. There are lots of hot springs, lots of very friendly people who gathering mushrooms. Woke up the last morning and there was the fog. I thought, I'm back in San Francisco. And there, this is our boarding the ship at around 8:30 at night. And then we're leaving at night. Yeah, we went back at night. And this was back on the mainland already. We were there about 3 or 4 days, I guess. Now, I need to go a little faster because I'm running out of time. This is the Valon Monastery, and this has a lot of significance for us here in California, and anybody from Alaska. So this is Valon. If you come down just where it says Finland, it's near St. Petersburg. And this Valon is on Lake Ladoga, and it was, you know, I'm a little... The history of it, I didn't read in depth, but there wasn't a lot of mention it early, but then by 1500s, you've already have the monastery here. So these are some of the buildings. And this has a distinction that no other monastery has. There's several different skeets on Valon. It's very well established. Probably 200 monks, 250. This is the monks' dining hall,
super good.
Like our nice, comfortable trapeze.
Oh.
This cat goes back 11 years because I visited here, 10 years ago. And there was a little kitten on my bed. And the hotel wasn't quite established yet. And I asked them, I said, does this kitten, is it live right down there? And they said, yeah. And I said, 10 years ago? Yeah, it was a kitten.
It's
11 years old. This is the bottom church in the main cathedral. And you can see the floor is not redone. It at one time was just cement. And this is the stairway going upstairs. And 10 years ago, this did not exist. So they completely did the renovation 10 years ago. And this is just some of the grounds. We did a lot of walking here. Lots of natural animals, right up close and personal. This was one of the cemeteries. These are little graves that were kind of unknown monks at one time, and then that's a little more. And the inside of any of these churches that have—I mean, this is all brand new. This is nothing that's been restored. This is just brand new, beautiful. This is our pilgrim group. So there's Fred on the right side, and then on the very left side is his daughter Alicia, who I got to room with. And then the two nuns were in a room, and then this woman spoke perfect English. She taught English, and so again, I got off easy. This is one of the skeets, St. Nicholas Church. This is the inside of that church. And all the walls were painted with the life of St. Nicholas. These are just some of the buildings. Lots of cats. Cats everywhere. And then this, I took one long walk. I was sort of got separated from the group, and I took a long walk to go see some of these churches. And most of the time, you know, the monks were okay with taking pictures. This was, I mean, they get tourist boat after tourist boat after tourist boat. This island is... not at all remote, and you know, the tourists, lots of tourists. It must be very interfering quite a bit with their life, but there's a lot of reconstruction. We were there, that little church was the church of the Dormition, and we were there the weekend Putin decided to visit, and there's one skeet called the St. Vladimir Skeet. And he has built his own little dacha at the skeet. And the security, of course, is extremely tight. So we were not allowed to go certain places because of that. Putin has kind of a special partnership with this monastery. And lots of money. So this is their farm. I'm going to go a little faster here so I don't run out of time. This is the farm. And then, you know, when they expect a group of tourists, they, you know, set out apple juice or herbal drinks. This was a young girl. They have a lot of students that come in the summer to practice English tour, you know, as tour guides. This monk was kind of, he came to visit us and took us for very long walks. He took us 10 o'clock at night, he asked me in Russian, he said, well, if nobody's tired in this group, I'll take you for a long walk, or a walk. And I said, we're not tired. And so we walked one night just around the whole monastery area, and then the next night we walked all the way, an hour, to get to the end of the island. So this is looking like kind of south towards.
That's Lake Lagunov.
Yeah. And then this is getting ready to leave. Now this one I'll mention quickly. This is very famous. This is Obdina. This is another, I think almost everybody is familiar with the elders of Obdina. And I do have a handout this is south of Moscow, about 2 hours. Now these are my pictures from 2 years ago, but Sister Mary did go this year and she had a wonderful time. I didn't join the group for this trip. But this is, also very much a destination for pilgrims, and this is a wonderful place to visit. In every church there's something going on at some time, either discussion with a monk or confession with the monks or Akathist and Malevins and liturgy and evening services. And they have completely in the past 15, 20 years redone their church. I mean, this was definitely also, this was completely closed. This was much later in terms of the buildings, but it was closed in the Soviet times, and then, some stayed, but most of these monks were probably sent to Solovki or other areas where there were prison camps. But it's a beautiful monastery. It's close to Kaluga. I should speed up a little bit. But it has, for me, had a very, very nice atmosphere. People were very well behaved. You go some places where you have lots of pilgrims and huge buses that bring 50, 60 people, and it can be not disturbing, but not as pleasant as it is, when there's not as many. But Obdina is very, very special. And this is the little dining room for pilgrims. And then outside is this church that's it's sponsored by the monastery. And it's a parish church, not part of the monastery. And that was confession. I mean, they don't have, some of these churches are very tiny. I'll go a little fast here. Families. And then we visited nearby a women's monastery, and that little cat sitting there in my jacket, the monastery was gives away cats to good homes. And this little lady was near that sign and had those little kittens to wait for a good home. And this young girl, this was actually 4 years ago, her mother was a parishioner of St. Nicholas Church, and this was our room when we came to visit. This is not at the monastery. This is in the little town. And this is the elder, Father Ely. And he is now in Moscow as the spiritual advisor to the patriarch. So he's not there. But when we went, he was visiting San Francisco about 6 years ago. He had a very long conversation with this woman, her mother, who was dying of cancer. And her request... she asked me, that this isn't just another little church that I'm showing you, kind of out in the countryside a bit, just to show you how they're, starting to renovate it. But she came to me one day, a couple months before she died, and she said, "Can you take me to Obdina?" And I was so incredibly privileged and honored that she would ask me, as an American, who, would take her. I said, of course, but knowing that she probably wouldn't be able to go. So when she passed away, and her daughter, we were meeting, and I'd given her daughter some money, and I said, when you have a chance, you go. Save this money. Just save it. I want you to know that this is for your trip. Well, the day before I left for Russia, she came to me. She says, "I'll be in Moscow on August 15th. Can you pick me up at the train station and go to Obdina?" So that was what brought me there. Otherwise, I might not have gone there. This is another one of those sort of nothing happens by chance. This monastery is right in the middle of Moscow. This is Sretensky Monastery. This monk has mellowed out considerably, because 12 years ago when I visited, and I've gone every year, this is 5 minutes from where I stay, so I've gone there many, many times for evening services. This has the famous choir that was here in San Francisco not too long ago. And this church was somewhat, had a notorious history because it's located right next to the KGB. And so during Soviet times, I believe they left it open to some degree, but tightly controlled.